Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Fortnite is your artist of the day on this Tuesday throwback to the 80s. By the way, for those of you speaking of the 80s, if you're a fan of the show Cheers, a large portion of the cast is making a comeback.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Cheers fans, reads this story from the Today Show. It is time to hoist a pint to the Goldbergs. That is because the sitcom is giving a showcase to some of our most beloved stars of the classic NBC show on Wednesday, October 9th.
So basically, they're doing a Goldberg's Cheers crossover episode?
Yeah. Kirstie Alley, Rhea Perlman, John Ratzenberger, and George Wendt will all make appearances on the ABC 1980s-based comedy.
Huh. I thought you were going to say they were remaking Cheers. No, I was like, no, let's not do that.
By the way, I must confess, I used to love Beverly Hills 90210. I have yet to watch a single of the reboots.
I'm told the reboot is an entirely different concept that basically lampoons a lot of the original.
I'm out the second I hear the word reboot. I really am.
The Connors just got renewed. That's the Roseanne spinoff.
Without Roseanne.
Right. But it got renewed.
Oh, speaking of comics in trouble, have you heard of this guy?
Yep.
What do you think?
So let me read you this story here. This is from the AP.
So you know it's true?
So you know it's true. Is that the one you needed?
No, I already had that.
Sorry, man.
It's all good.
Saturday Night Live has rescinded its invitation to a cast member who posted a video last year in which he used a racial slur for Chinese people and derided Asians trying to learn English. A show representative said Monday that the language that Shane Gillis used was offensive, hurtful, and unacceptable, and the show was not aware of the past remarks that have drawn the criticism. Saturday Night Live apologized, saying that its vetting process, quote, was not up to our standard. In a tweet, Gillis said he respected the show's decision and is honestly grateful even for the opportunity. He said he had hoped to have the opportunity to prove himself, but, quote, I understand it would be too much of a distraction. Now, let me read this. Okay. In the clip of the video apparently posted in 2018, Gillis refers to an unidentified city's Chinatown as being nuts. I don't know why that's so controversial. And used a derogatory word for Chinese people.
Yeah, that was the one that was cringeworthy.
He also complained about hearing an Asian trying to learn English. Are they going to rescind Eddie Murphy's invitation?
How far back? You always, to me, at least have to have a conversation about time frame here. How far back was it?
It was 2018.
So I guess Sarah Silverman, because I read a bunch of other stories that sprung from this one about other comics who way back when did fill in the blank and they've apologized and everyone kind of moved on. And Sarah Silverman was one of them who appeared, I think, in blackface years ago and has said she deeply regrets it and is embarrassed and so sorry. But it was 10 or 20 years ago.
But isn't,
if these comments were comments that he made a year ago... I can see where SNL thought, you know what, we're gonna take a pass here.
I can't.
Why?
Because I think comedy is satire personified. And it is, comedy is, if it doesn't provoke you, if it doesn't,
but
to use this word twice in one day.
Was what you said just racist? I mean, there's, racism is not provocative.
Yes, it is.
Isn't comedy the industry of offending, though?
No.
It's not?
Not in a handful of cases that immediately come to mind, no.
Have you not listened to any of Eddie Murphy's stand-up comedy from the early 1980s
yes.
when he makes fun of white people? And I'm just using this as an example.
He makes fun of black women.
I'm not offended by what Eddie Murphy did on Raw or whichever one it was, but where he mimics a white guy going into order at McDonald's, he goes, "I'll take," and he opens his eyes real wide and he goes, "I'll take a Big Mac with a large fry and a Diet Coke."
Well,
I was not offended by that. It was funny.
This guy used a slur within the last 12 months. And I think even if you're a comic and you're all about being edgy, you have to think before you use language that is racist in nature.
What about Andrew Dice Clay?
I was never a fan of his anyway.
I'm not going to tell the joke,
no.
But I will say this. Dental floss.
Yes.
And everybody knows what joke I'm referring to.
He made fun of a group of people.
Oh, somebody has an interesting point on the text line. Hang on just a second. Let me draw this up because I have it ready and ready to go. Hang on just a second here, character, because you nailed it. Is this... Let me get it. Hang on. I'm getting to it. Is this racist? Okay, I'm going to play it. You tell me if this is racist or not. And I'm only going to play a little bit because everybody's heard it 1,000 times.
All right, listen up, y'all. I'm y'all substitute teacher, Mr. Garvey. I taught school for 20 years in the inner city. So don't even think about messing with me. Y'all feel me? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take a roll here. Jay Quellen. Where's Jay Quellen at? No Jay Quellen here?
Okay.
Hang on.
Oh, yeah. No, I've heard it.
Do you mean Jacqueline?
Okay. So that's how it's going to be.
Racist? They did another one called Clubs.
I think that falls under satire. I don't need to
hear the other
one.
I'm going to take a little roll here. Jay Quellen.
Here.
You are present. Balake.
I hear.
Uh-huh. D Nice.
Here.
Good. Jessica.
Okay. Part of the problem with this latest cast member, Gillis, I can't remember his first name.
Kevin, I believe.
Is that Saturday Night Live's already been criticized never having an Asian cast member ever until this upcoming season.
They literally
never had one until this season.
Mm-hmm.
The slur that Gillis used was against Asians.
F word.
There was a C word.
C word that rhymes with
race. All right, I don't need to hear what it rhymes with. And one of the questions I guess I would have is, do they not have people that look into this stuff? We have seen comics get in trouble time and time again for these types of things. And you would think of all organizations, Saturday Night Live would have somebody, an intern somewhere in that 30 Rock building or wherever, that would go through his material and be sure, before we offer you this contract, that there's nothing out there that's going to blow up in our face that, I'm sorry, we could have found because he said it within the last 18 months.
But you're ignoring my larger point. They've invited Eddie Murphy back, and he has agreed to come back. And some of Eddie Murphy's best stuff is some of the most racist stuff I've ever heard in my life.
Here's the difference, though.
Eddie Murphy's black?
No. The difference is it's funny. And in comedy, you can say the absolute worst, most horrifically awful thing. And as long as it's funny, you get away with it.
Define funny.
I don't know that Shane Gillis was funny enough to get away with it.
Okay.
I would absolutely say that what Shane Gillis said wasn't funny enough to get away with it. And Michael Richards, whenever he had his meltdown in front of the comedy club.
Not funny.
But that
not
was funny. That was a meltdown. That wasn't an attempt at humor.
But if the comedy club had been laughing through the whole thing because they found it funny, that never would have been a thing.
Here's the other problem for Shane Gillis. No one's ever heard of him. So he has no benefit of the doubt. So it's easy just to rescind it.
You're right on that regard.
You know, Eddie Murphy, everyone knows who that is.
Yeah, you're right in that regard. You kick Shane Gillis to the curb, nobody cares. I mean, so what? Another white guy from Second City in Chicago isn't going to get on Saturday Night Live. Nobody cares.
During a season that they've hired their first Asian in the show's history. I saw this train crashing right on down the tracks. In fact, the second I saw it, was it 3 days ago that it first came out that he had said these things? I said out loud, he's gone.
But let me ask you something, and I want to be quick about this because we got to get to the break. And the phones are lighting up like crazy. So we'll get with you guys here in just a second, so hang tight. Does it depend on the comedians or comedians' tenure on stage? For example, somebody points out, Bill Maher, especially lately, has been dropping some really, really awful things. Now,
correct.
Now, you may think they're funny or you may think they're incredibly insensitive, even some would argue fireable offenses. However, Bill Maher, who, by the way, I've met before, he's a jerk. But this has nothing to do with my opinion whether he should be fired or not. Bill Maher's been on the scene for well over 20 years. He's got street cred in the comedy circle. Eddie Murphy's been on the scene for 40 years, clearly has street cred.
They've made it. They're tenured.
Andrew Dice Clay is one of the most racist. His comedy is racist. I don't know if he is or not. But Andrew Dice Clay's stuff from the early 90s, funny, yes. Racist, you bet your ass.
Well, so was Richard Pryor. I mean, you go back that far even.
But you start talking about what was acceptable in the 70s and what's acceptable in 2019. Part of this has to do with the decade we're talking about.
Well, but we also go back.
If this same Gillis had said what he said in 1975, we wouldn't even be talking about this.
I don't know if I agree with that because we've made people go back and apologize for things that they did back in the 70s.
But it also,
Joe Biden.
It also wouldn't be funny even in 1975. I think it goes back to the fact that what he said, while offensive, yes, it really boils down to the fact that he wasn't funny, and his job is supposed to be funny.
All right. Okay. 576-7798. By the way, I would point out, Saturday Night Live has no problem making fun of fat people. Chris Farley.
Sean Spicer, tune in Saturday night. Mm-hmm. You know that's coming.
Oh, sure. From the Dancing with the Stars thing last night? Yeah.
Yeah.
576-7798, 576-7798. Shot through the heart, and you're to blame, darling. You give love a bad name. Is that the square you need?
One of them, yeah.
Fine, Roland Park.
Bingo!
Justin in Merriam. Justin, hello.
Hey, how y'all doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, so let me get this straight. So it was an Asian comedian that made an Asian joke.
No, I
right?
don't think he's a. He, I think he's
okay,
white.
That was one.
Yeah,
of my
he's
questions.
White.
He's white. Okay. Well, I do have one question. Have any of you seen Dave Chappelle's new stand up, Sticks and Stones?
No, and watch your mouth if you're going to quote any of it.
No, not going to quote a thing. I like being able to call him from time to time. I would suggest y'all watch that. I think he makes some pretty good points that are pretty poignant for the time. Secondly, why is it okay for, do you know who presidential candidate Yang is?
Yeah, Andrew Yang.
Yeah, why is it okay for him to get up there and crack a joke about, I'm Asian, therefore I'm good at math? Why is that okay? But it's not okay.
Okay, Justin, I was going to bring up another one, and I could not stand her comedy. But there was an Asian female comic, last name Cho, I want to say. I found her
Margaret
incredibly
Cho?
Not funny. And her entire catalog was making fun of her own heritage. I found it incredibly stupid and not fun. I don't like her comedy at all. But he brings up an interesting point when he said, well, is this an Asian guy? Is it okay if you're Asian to make fun of Asians? Because it worked for Margaret Cho.
Is it okay for blacks to make fun of blacks?
Well, you keep saying David Chappelle's racist and Eddie Murphy's material was racist.
It was certainly racially insensitive.
It is different, is it not, when it is a black comic? And I'm asking, would argue it shouldn't be.
I think as long as it's not racist, I think there's a huge difference between racist comedy and racially insensitive comedy.
I think the line is different with a white comic than it is for someone like Eddie Murphy.
That may be true, but I think you can be racially insensitive and funny. And you don't just have to be anything but white. I think Andrew Dice Clay's stuff from the early 1990s, while horribly racially insensitive, I'll be the first to tell you, I laughed at it. I thought it was funny. And when Eddie Murphy makes fun of a white guy at McDonald's in Raw, I thought that was funny. I think racially insensitive jokes are funny, or what we would used to call off color.
We're back to the fact that it's funny, therefore it's fine.
Fine. All right. Yeah. I mean, what Michael Richards did 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whenever that was, that was not funny. That was a breakdown. That wasn't his comedy skit. And I don't know the context of this Shane Gillis character and when he used F word rhymes with rinks. I don't know what the context was for that. Was it? And so I can't judge whether it was funny or not. I can judge whether Andrew Dice Clay was funny or Eddie Murphy was funny because I've heard and listened to their skits. It was funny. Now, would it pass the test today? No. No chance in hell. 30 years later, Andrew Dice Clay's joke about Asians driving? No way. He'd be run off the stage. And I just think we've done a really good job, Dana, of getting our panties in a wad when it comes to comedy, especially when the comic is white. And it's satire. It's a joke. It's meant to offend. You go to a comedy club to be offended. Do you not?
I think some comics have that style of comedy.
Okay.
I would prefer to laugh.
You like Jim Gaffigan.
And not be offended.
That's a fair point.
I think it's harder to not be offensive. I think it's harder as a comic to be smart than it is to use bad language and be offensive.
I think that's a fair point.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point. Let's get to the newsroom. Here is Will Sterrett.
Ahead on KMBZ, decisions on spending next.
Here are a couple coming in. This guy apparently doesn't like me, I don't think. Maybe, but because they're all about me. Aaron. This is for Dana Parks Bingo, by the way, Will.
He's not on the list.
Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
King City.
Yeah.
Going to Branson.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Has a Gun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a gun owner, and I am a gun owner.
Mm-hmm. Not there.
We're not going to talk about Trump, but. And Scott seeing Queen with Freddie Mercury as a lead singer. And Scott not wearing underpants.
Did you really choose 9 of mine, or were 5 of them fake and you only came up with 4? Or did you really choose 9? At the beginning of the show.
He actually.
Yes. No, I got 9.
He came up with 9.
No, I got 9 solid.
Yeah. You got 9.
Yes. There were another 4 that were just very broad and generic that we ended up throwing out.
I had 30 seconds. And
it's hard when you're being timed.
And so I hit 9 and I needed one more to beat you when you were out of the studio. And I just started throwing things out like.
Wine, books, and I quote, this is a direct quote, things that don't matter.
I did say that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's funny. That's actually really funny.
I was running out of things, and I'm like, what else could be on that list?
But you will see through the glass, Scott. I'm holding up the back of today's bingo card, and on there is there not a list of things that I can add to future bingo cards?
Yes. So we're gonna add those, and
we've got the running tally.
I think this is actually very funny.
I'm glad that you're getting a kick out of it, and thank you for just uttering Roland Park earlier. So I now have a bingo.
I had no intention of mentioning Roland Park.
I figured it was. I'm amazed that you hadn't. I mean, we'd gone almost 3.5 hours without you mentioning Roland Park. I didn't think that was possible.
What are you laughing about?
Especially because, I mean, you did everything but say Roland Park. You mentioned your house. You mentioned the long drive to the soccer complex that's closed.
But
I mean, you did
from Roland Park.
Right, you did everything but say the big phrase, Roland Park.
I am sorry I let you down.
No, I mean, it's okay. I was amazed more than anything. Okay. I just kept thinking it was right around the corner. Here we go. Nope. And then when we were talking about your sinuses earlier, I was waiting for you to bring up the windshield crash.
Nope. Didn't do it.
No?
I know.
Scott's nicotine patch.
Does that really come up that often?
No, not very often.
I didn't think so.
And the fact that Scott used to chew tobacco.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to be all that regular.
And then Stella, Odie, and G. Willikers all came up.
Oh, it's been a while since we've heard about my cat.
G. Willikers only comes up when we're making fun of Dana for killing her cat in the dryer.
Right. Poor G. Willikers.
We're not doing that every day.
R.I.P.
No.
Did you ever wear any of those clothes again?
Oh, God, no.
So you just took everything out of the dryer and threw it away.
I didn't do anything. No. I had an emotional breakdown before I really saw what was happening, and my mother had to deal with that.
What?
My mom. It was at her house.
Can I ask the most insensitive question ever?
Please don't.
May I?
No. My mom dealt with the aftermath of that horrifying accident.
I'm going to ask it anyway.
No.
What did the lint screen look like?
I don't know because I didn't. You are a horrible human being.
And I shouldn't laugh at that.
Laughing?
Oh, God.
Had some hair in it.
Oh, my God. I remember barely opening the door.
I'm sorry.
And then it, like, within about 3 seconds, just surmised what had happened without really knowing. Yeah. And then I freaked out, and my mom and dad were like, what is going on?
How old were you, like 19?
I was like 19. I was at KU. I was home for, I think I was home for the weekend.
And how did G. Willikers get in there? Did you just hop in when you weren't looking?
Cats do that, let me tell you. And our dryer now is on the top, our washer is on the bottom.
So this way the cat can drown instead of... Right. Instead of putting him in the gas chamber, you just waterboard him.
You stole my joke, man.
Sorry. Sorry.
We love you. We do love you.
Love you, too.
Where are you going tonight?
My daughter is having her senior pictures taken.
Is she a senior?
Yes!
Like this year?
Yeah. Oh, the clock's ticking, babe.
Or next year?
No, it's happening as we speak. I just got the graduation cap and gown form yesterday.
Sophie is a senior.
Yeah. Oh, the clock's ticking.
No.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Remember every 2 years I cranked them out?
Yeah, I know, but I just...
Jack's a sophomore.
I know.
Yeah.
I just can't believe she's a senior in high school.
I'm curious if people listening did the senior photo...
When we started the show, you know, when we started the show, she was in fifth grade.
Oh, no, I know. I'm curious if people listening did the senior photo routine for the guys, or is it really just the girls? We didn't do this for Jack. He would have said, what? I'm not going to go lean on some tree so you can take a picture.
I had senior photos.
What was your photo, Will Starrett?
Well, there were a few different ones.
You have the lying your chin delicately on both hands?
No.
Kelly did. You want me to show you?
We did not do
her
that.
Her mom just sent it to me.
What were yours?
There were ones of me with a bunch of my debate trophies and whatnot, because I was in that. I'm trying to remember what else there was, honestly.
Look,
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She wearing a jean jacket?
Well, I don't know if it's a jean jacket, but do you see the class ring properly positioned right underneath her chin?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah.
Sam, what was your senior photo?
Mine were I was like leaning up against a locker, standing on in a stairwell. I had a really funny one.
When we were in high school, you always leaned against the tree.
I had a really funny one where I thought it would be funny for my mom to cradle me because I was 6'5", but she couldn't hold me, so we did it sitting down, and it was still pretty funny.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
See, when I was a senior, we had to do, here, maybe this will help you out, Lansing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hang on just a second. Yeah.
Yep.
Not the one I need, but I'll take every point I can get now.
Your parents bought them, and then you would pass them out.
Right, and you would write
on the back. And write on the back of them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like...
yeah, they don't do that anymore.
Mindy, great to know you this year. Stay cool.
So glad we've become so close.
Yeah.
You're like, you're never going to talk again.
When I was a senior, we had to do two different takes. We had to do the suit and tie, which was the one that usually ended up in the yearbook.
Sure.
And then we had to do the super cool look, which at the time I was graduating, the Miami Vice look was really cool.
Oh, yes, it was.
So I had the turquoise wife beater with the collared shirt over it, but never buttoned up.
Very classy.
Very. And you had to sit like this.
Yes.
The good old boys
one
playing in the
elbow
background?
On the knee.
Of course.
Hunched over.
Slightly
right.
Hunched yeah. over and leaned in.
Because you're mm-hmm. too cool to sit up straight.
Chin on your fist.
Yeah. Like that. And then I had a turquoise tank top on. With a collared shirt, long sleeve, but of course rolled up.
Rolled up.
Oh, of course.
Please.
Acid wash jeans and looking like this with my elbow on my left knee going, can I help you?
Cigarette hanging out of your mouth too.
No, but afterwards, yeah.
You know, my next round of professional headshots, I'm going to get that exact look done. That exact thing.
You know, somewhere I still have that picture and I'll see if I can find it tonight.
Oh my.
I might need that one for my mantle. Which, by the way, back in the day, the parents bought for the mantle.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? You would buy the big one, and it went up in the living room. Nobody does that anymore. The photos are really for, you know, we'll get some of them, but they're really for the yearbook, the half page, or the three-quarter page, or the quarter page.
Yeah, I don't even think we got mine printed.
I haven't bought it yet, and
I don't
remember what we got for Jack, and it's got to be the same size. I can't short him and go with the half page for the girl.
Do you still have access to the yearbook?
Yeah, I need
maybe
to
you could. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you need to go back and take a
look through that.
Although he wouldn't care, he'd be like.
By the way, thank you for the mantle reference. That reminded me to write "Dust the Mantle" on the list.
Of
potential additions mm-hmm. to the
course,
bingo
of course,
game.
Of course, mm-hmm. of course. I mean, we'd expect nothing less. Anyway, I cannot get over the idea that we bought a half-page ad in a yearbook.
That, for the most part, will never be opened again, unless she goes to prison. And then people will open it and be like, oh, yeah, remember her? Be honest, that's the only reason you look back at your yearbook, if something bad happens.
Honestly, I studied mine before my 10-year reunion.
Okay,
really?
Well, before reunion.
Before reunion.
Yeah, I think I did that.
So I would, you know the names of the people there.
Will was playing Jam or No Jam with the random people at the reunion. He'd see them and go, oh, that's them.
Can neither confirm nor deny.
You guys are funny. 576-7798. Will Starrett, that guy's Sam Stevie, Dana Ryan, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Say so.
Dana had to head out early. She is going downtown. Her daughter is doing senior pictures tonight. Let me guess. Rustic? Brick? Looks like it's in the ghetto.
Warehousey?
Very warehousey.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
old rusty car.
Yeah, old rusty car in the background that hasn't been driven in 20 years.
Yeah, probably so.
A neighborhood she would never be found in on any other day but senior picture photograph day. Am I wrong?
That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
If you had it to do all over again, where would you do yours?
Not where I did them. Maybe standing by the Melissa Etheridge guitar sign at Leavenworth and with a sign that says, "Where's mine?"
Who's that?
I like that.
Melissa Etheridge, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
She's sort of a legend.
Mm-hmm. I'm mm-hmm. just going to gloss right over that question there.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna need a little more there, cowboy.
All right. Sounds upbeat to me.
Yeah, it does. It does. That's not the Jets rocket to you.
Nope.
No.
Nope. You need a little bit more here?
Yeah.
Ooh, this is a tough one.
That is a tough one. Jermaine's. No, not Jermaine's. Oh, Shalimar, Dancing in the Sheets, not a jam. Maybe we can make some key.
Totally disagree with this, by the way. Love is always born on a chance. So whip around me and baby, let's dance. Why are you giving me stink eye in there, weirdo?
This is the first time I've heard this song, and I don't like it.
It was on the Footloose soundtrack.
I mean, it's fine. Just because I say it's not a jam doesn't mean that I think it sucks out loud. It's
I think
just...
it sucks out loud.
All right.
Wow.
It's just not my favorite. I wouldn't ever turn it up.
Would you turn it off?
Probably not.
Let's do one more just for fun.
Because, okay. All right, sure.
I'm not getting into a new topic with 40 seconds left in the show. You ready?
Yeah, sure.
Here it comes.
That's tough. I need a little more. St. Elmo's Fire, John Parr? If so, that's a jam.
I love you, man.
Love you too, man.
You're fun to play with. Ooh.
Phrasing. And a jam.
You know, here's what I love about Foreigner. I'll be very quick because I know we got to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Every year when they come to town, or every other year when they come to town, for this song, they get a local high school choir.
I love it.
Put them on the back of the stage, and they sing the ending of the song with the band.
Nice.
And they do that in every city that they go to.
That's outstanding.
Like, I think a couple of years ago when we saw them, or last year when they were with Whitesnake, God, I can't remember. Was it Rockhurst? Or they had one of the local schools. They got the choir to come on stage and sing that song with them.
And, of course, it's the gig of a lifetime for most of those kids.
It is the largest crowd they'll probably ever perform in.
Exactly, yeah.
It's super cool. Foreigner's been your artist of the day. We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, Sam Stevie, Will Starrett is my co-host this afternoon.
For 5 minutes.
I am Scott Parks. Dana Wright will be back, of course, tomorrow. She had to step out early for a quick photograph session with her daughter. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock, everybody. Have a great night. Be safe and be good.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.